Good morning.
Good morning.
And we welcome you to our worship service here at Bethany United Methodist Church. I'm pleased to announce that yesterday was the first day of spring. How about that? Indeed. Indeed. And I don't know about you, but I am ready for spring. And what a beautiful day that we have today to worship together as our church family. Let's begin our service with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that today you have called us to worship you and learn of you. You alone know our needs. Satisfy them with your unchanging love. In your presence, may we find comfort in sorrow, guidance in perplexity, strength to meet temptation, grace to overcome our leaning toward disobedience, and courage to face up to the hostility of this rebellious world. Above all, may we meet Jesus today and go out from our worship empowered by his Spirit. These words we pray to your glory and in his most holy name. Amen. Well, today we will learn about God's gift of grace. It's that undeserved favor that he gives to each one of us. Our first song speaks to this gracious gift from God, so please join us by humming here in the sanctuary and by singing, you folks at home and those listening in your car. Let's sing "This Is Amazing Grace." Please stand as you're able. Ephesians, and please be seated. Thank you. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 5 says this, and you're going to hear these words later on in the service, but I think they bear repeating. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, and by grace you have been saved. Wow. That Jesus Christ would die and give up his life for me, a sinner, it's beyond comprehension. I cannot fathom the extent of his love for me, and it's the same love that he has for you. Pastor Susan, as they say in layman's terms, that'll preach. Listen and hum as we sing, "How Marvelous I Stand Amazed," followed by that great hymn, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus."
I stand.
Shall end.
Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Well, good morning. This is our children's time, and I brought a couple of friends with me. Hopefully they will stay put here. So I get my candle lit. So we're talking about grace today, as Randy mentioned, and I brought with me, I have for sake of our story, we'll say this is Fred and this is Sam. And Fred and Sam were, you know, they were having some fun, and things got out of hand, and they ended up destroying their neighbor's mailbox. And then when they were asked about it, they lied. So several mistakes were made. And the thing is, you know, Fred here, he felt bad about it. He felt bad about the lie. He felt bad about, everything that he had done, destroying property and all that, but he wasn't ready to say anything about it. So imagine that this candle flame is our mistake. And so when Fred gets close to his mistakes, oh, whoops, oh my, poor Fred. But Sam has something a little different. He feels bad, he really does. But Fred blew out the candle. He feels bad, but he knows something that Fred didn't know. Sam knows that there exists such a thing as grace. That even though he made a mistake, and a kind of a big mistake, he knows that he can go to his parents and tell them the truth after all, that he can say he's sorry, because he knows, just like God loves him, regardless of the mistakes he's made, so do his parents. So I'm really hoping this works. So he can get close to his mistakes and, unlike Fred, he doesn't explode. Well, of course, he's got water inside of him. But we're going to call that water grace today. He knows he made a mistake. This was actually supposed to make a mark on him. So imagine there's a mark on him. You don't get away scot-free. You know, it leaves a mark, the mistakes we make. But when we have grace, when we know Jesus, we know that we can come back from those mistakes, that God will still love us, want us to do better, but still love us. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you for the grace that you give us, for that love that comes without us having to do anything except receive it. Lord, help us to extend that same grace to others. Amen. And, oh golly, there's no doing that with the mask on. And if I take my mask off, then I'll lose my earpiece. Thank you.
I guess this mic is working.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. All right. It's good to be here this morning and see all you people out there. The scripture lesson today is from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. You were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once lived, following the course of this world, following the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work among those who are disobedient. All of us once lived among them in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of flesh and senses. And we were by nature children of wrath, like everyone else. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly place in Christ Jesus. So that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing, it is a gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. Thus ends the reading of God's word.
Well, let us pray. Gracious God, we come together in this place and we are thankful that we can come together, whether it's through video or transmission over the airwaves or in this place. We are thankful for our gathering. Lord, be with us as we consider your words to us, those words of hope and peace and joy about your grace that brings us into new life. Amen. Well, I woke up one morning this week, and I must have, well, it was a combination of things. I guess I slept wrong, and I had been spending too much time at my computer or sitting. And I just felt like somebody had just crumpled me up and squeezed me all night long. I hurt. I had, my neck was sore, my shoulders felt terrible. I just really felt awful. And so I thought, well, maybe if I stretch, that will help. So I found a video that said, you know, practice for tight shoulders. It's like, this should be it. So I put the video up on the TV, and I followed this lady's advice, things to do. And, you know, it didn't feel good at first, but it felt better than, like, walking around like this all day, you know, with the... And so I kept doing it, and in this... And this lady was having you, like, get into a pose, a position, and stay there for about 5 minutes. And I could kind of feel my muscles starting to stretch and relax and feel better. And by the time I was done, I felt pretty good. I mean, it hadn't been fun in that stretching process. It wasn't like real pain, but I could tell something was happening that was kind of uncomfortable. And this might sound crazy, but I think that grace is a little bit like that. Our inability to offer grace to other people can weigh on us. It can squeeze us, drag us down. And I think that God wants to stretch us and open us up so that we can share grace with one another. Paul starts this passage we heard this morning by saying that living a sinful life is like being dead. But we have been brought back to life by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We have received these incredible riches, we are told. These riches that come from knowing Jesus Christ. But you know, the thing is, grace, you don't have to really do anything. You don't have to earn it. But we live in a society in which we are used to being sorted and grouped and graded. When I was in the first grade, there were three reading groups. There were Group A, Group B, and Group C. And I was in Group C. And That was the smallest group. And I knew, even though I was 6 years old, I knew that we were the slow group. We were spending way more time with Dick, Jane, and Spot than Group A and Group B. And I really wanted to be in Group B or Group A. But the thing was, reading was difficult. The letters had a habit of turning backwards or flipping places or even sometimes turning upside down. B, P, and D were my enemies because they were always doing things to trick me into thinking that something said dad instead of bad or dog instead of God. And so, well, there I was in the C group. And I stayed there, seemed like, for quite a while. We get sorted. We get sorted based on our performance. And we pass that attitude on to our children often. I think about our youngest daughter who wanted to play t-ball, and we thought, well, you know, t-ball, that's a pretty low demand sort of thing. You hit the ball off the tee and then you run the bases. But Rachel hated it. She hated it because she is much more dyslexic than I am, and she could never remember which way she was supposed to run the bases. Do you run to your right? Do you run to your left? And then if she did it the wrong way, someone would have to chase her down and turn her around and get her going back the other way. She felt like she just wasn't as good as the other kids at t-ball. We live in a culture of ungrace. And we think we have to earn everything. And we want everything for ourselves, for our kids. That kind of hit home to me in the spring of 2019 when the college admission scandal broke, when we heard about Rick Singer, who was taking bribes from parents who wanted to get their kids into elite schools. Parents paid about $25 million in bribes in order to get their kids into schools like Princeton and California, USC, University of Southern California, and schools like that. And the parents did it without their kids' knowledge, often, most of the time. They would bribe someone to correct the answers on their ACT and SAT tests, or they would have somebody nominate them a coach as an elite athlete, which they were not. But the thing is, God doesn't care what school you go to or which one your kid goes to. We tend to think of God as loving us because we become good. But that isn't how it works. Paul tells us in Romans 5:8, but God shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's the other way around. God loves us, and hopefully, out of appreciation, we, in turn, feel gratitude and love for God. C.S. Lewis wrote that to be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable because God has forgiven the inexcusable in us. God doesn't love you or me because we're right or good. God loves us because we are. And sometimes that's hard to fathom, that God can love who we are. Sociology professor and Christian Tony Campolo likes to speak at secular schools, and he often asks the students that he meets, what is Jesus about? What do you think Jesus is about? And he says he is amazed by how few understand the way in which Jesus is different or unique. They don't often say, well, you know, Jesus teaches us to love and forgive our enemies. And what's even more interesting is that the people who have the most trouble accepting that Jesus' love was unconditional are the people who consider themselves religious. He finds that often the people who are broken by life understand the beauty of being forgiven, understand it more completely. And while we all get caught up in how we believe God should order the world, rewarding good people like us, and often we think punishing people who aren't like us, I think that the intent behind many of Jesus' parables was that we need to be stretched beyond our ideas about reward and punishment, our ideas about the carrot and the stick. We need to be stretched past our ideas of fairness until we can offer grace to one another. Not just receive it from God, but extend it to those around us. In the 1986 film The Mission, Robert De Niro plays Rodrigo Mendoza, who is a slave trader and a conquistador, and he sold and murdered many native South Americans and has hardly thought twice about it. But then he goes into a rage and he murders his brother in this fit of anger, and so he's overcome by remorse. And he goes to a priest and confesses, and the Jesuit priest gives him a penance to atone for his sin. He must accompany an expedition of Jesuit priests deep into the rainforest, and there the Jesuits are planning to teach the natives about Jesus Christ. And so before they begin this trek, Mendoza takes his armor and binds it up in a net, and he ties a rope around this bundle and he drags it behind him while they're walking through the undergrowth. And it's to remind him of the violent life that he had lived, that he is leaving behind. But the sack of armor slows him down. It slows down the expedition, but the priests tolerate it because they understand that this is his penance. He is a penitent man, and he wants to show that he has changed. Well, when they get close to their destination, the missionaries are climbing up to the top of a waterfall. And at the top, they are warmly greeted by these natives who they've come to know and have a relationship with. But then they see Mendoza climbing up the waterfall as well, and they recognize him. They recognize him as the one who has captured and killed some of their people. And so as he comes to the top of the waterfall, dragging this armor behind him, one of the natives grabs a knife and puts it to Mendoza's throat. Holding the blade against his neck, it seems as though he is about to kill Mendoza, and he looks at his assailant as if he is preparing himself for death. But then something surprising happens. The native does slash his knife, but what he cuts is not Mendoza's throat. He cuts the rope that's holding that bag of armor, and the entire company watches as the conquistador's burden falls away, falls down the waterfall, smashing onto the rocks below. And Mendoza weeps at being released from his burden by one of the ones who has been affected by his violence. And the priest says, "Welcome home, brother." And then his real instruction begins. There are times when we are carrying around a burden, dragging it behind us. And maybe we should ask ourselves once in a while, are there people I need to forgive? What things from my past do I need to let go to live a life of joy? I was just talking to someone about closets, about how we tend to just stuff everything in the closet. And then we don't dig in there and try to see what's at the back. Our lives are like that sometimes too. We just push everything back. But once in a while, we might need to bring it out into the light and examine it. Paul says we were dead in our sins, but then God made us alive in Christ, and that's the good news. Frederick Buechner writes that the grace of God means something like, here's your life. You might never have been, but you are, because the party would not have been complete without you. Here is the world. Beautiful and terrible things will happen. Don't be afraid. I am with you. Nothing can ever separate us. It's for you I created the universe, because I love you. There's one little catch, though. While we stretch and try to grow, that gift of grace can only be ours if we reach out and take it. We have to receive it. Receive that sense of being forgiven and renewed. And maybe we can then reach out and offer it to someone else, because then it is most truly yours when you give it away. Amen. Well, we appreciate everyone who makes this service possible, appreciate all that's been done to remind us that we're in the season of Lent, the decorations behind me, and all that happens to make this possible. Let us pray. Lord, we give you thanks for all that goes into making it possible for us to glorify you and to share that ability to worship with others in so many different places. Lord, continue to help us to worship, glorify, and share your love. Amen. Well, we have a few announcements. I meant to say earlier that if you have a prayer concern and you're watching us by video, you can text a prayer request to 540-495-0501. And we will get back to prayer concerns in just a minute. Also, if you are here in the sanctuary, we have out on the worship center, we have some cards that show all of the Holy Week activities, Palm Sunday through Easter activities that we're having here at the church. And if there's someone you'd like to invite to church, you can take one of these cards and share it with them. And speaking of that, on Palm Sunday, we're going to have a children's parade here in the sanctuary and children's church. On April 2nd, Good Friday, we're going to have an interactive worship experience called Journey to the Cross, and then where you can go from station to station. And then afterwards, and that's from 5 to 6:30, and then at 6:30 there'll be a virtual service broadcast. And if you're here, you can watch that in the fellowship hall. I think that's in the fellowship hall. Yes, it is. And or you can watch it at home on Facebook or however you receive that. Also want to remind folks that on if you're ordering Easter flowers to go in the sanctuary, those orders need to be in the office by tomorrow, March 22nd. And then on Easter Sunday, there'll be children's church and an Easter egg hunt. So things are opening up a little bit, and we can do some things we couldn't do last year. And also the trustees are looking for people to sign up to mow the grass. So if that's something you would feel called to do this summer, please let the office know. Do we have any other? Oh, well, I'm totally forgetting Valley Mission. So we are collecting items during Easter as we go up to Easter for Valley Mission. So they're looking for things like sandwich and lunch bags, Lysol wipes, cleaning solution, detergent, umbrellas, ponchos, work gloves, things like that. And you can see more of that in the happenings. Any other announcements? Yes.
Easter egg stuffing has begun. And two, if you are interested in meeting on this Thursday, we're going to get together, anybody that wants to just kind of look at what our next steps are as we move forward in this transition period. So.
Okay. Okay.
7 o'clock here.
So people to donate things to go into the Easter eggs?
No eggs, please.
No, do not bring eggs, but the things that go in the eggs. There you go. And also, so, and then on Thursday at 7 o'clock, a meeting.
Just to kind of talk about how we move forward in the transition back to outside, or everybody, you know.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Talking about the transition to next steps in worship, and we can take next steps. Hallelujah! Yay! For our prayer concerns, I know we want to continue to be in prayer for Dennis Myers, also for Ken Shiflett, and Judy Faby, who was in the hospital with pneumonia. So we want to pray for all of them. Do we have other prayer concerns this morning? Let us pray. O Lord, you are our creator, our sustainer, our redeemer. We call you holy and seek to worship you with all that we say and do. We pray that your heavenly kingdom might become more present in this world by the things that we do. Lord, we ask that all of those who hunger, whether it is in spirit or in body, that they should be fed. And that when we see those who are hungry, we may offer them sustenance. Lord, help us to forgive any who have sinned against us, just as you have forgiven us our sins. Lord, awaken us to see your presence in one another. Inspire us so that we can work for the greater good. Open our eyes so that we may see you in others. Lord, open our souls to accept the grace that you extend to us. Lord, make us aware of how we can share your grace with those around us. We pray this morning for all of those who are suffering in body or in spirit, and ask that you bring wholeness to them. Lord, we pray for those who have lost loved ones, and ask that you give them hope in the power of the resurrection to bring new life. Continue to form us into the body of Christ in the world, recognizing Jesus Christ as our head, our leader, the one who has shown us the way. It is in his name that I pray. And now let us pray together the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Please join us as we sing our last song, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. I think we're having a few. Oh, we do have it up.
Back up, sorry.
Back up, awesome. So you can see the words. Be sure to join us at least in humming along. When I Survey the Wondrous Cross.
The Prince of Glory.
And now, as you prepare to go forth, may you go forth in the love of God, knowing that while God created all the universe, the one thing he wants is you. Amen.